Aniketa shtira matir bhaktimam me priyo naraha. And Krishna tells Arjuna, one who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equiposed in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Prabhupada says in the purport, a devotee is always free from all bad association. Sometimes one is praised and sometimes one is defamed. That is the nature of human society. But a devotee is always transcendental to artificial fame and infamy, distress and happiness. He is very patient. He does not speak of anything but the topics of Krishna. Therefore he is called silent. Silent does not mean that one should not speak, but silent means that one should not speak nonsense. One should speak only about essentials. And the most essential speech for the devotee is to speak for the sake of the Supreme Lord. A devotee is happy in all conditions. Sometimes he may get very valuable, very palatable foodstuffs. Sometimes not. But he is satisfied. He does not care for any residential facility. He may sometimes live underneath a tree, and he may sometimes live in a very palatial building. He is not attracted to either. He is not attracted to either. He is called fixed because he is fixed in his determination and knowledge. We may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. Harava bhakta shakuto mahad gunah. One who is not a devotee has no good qualifications. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them. Shama Shatrau Chamitre Cha Tata Mana Pano Apamana Yaho Jai. Supapada Ki Yaskam Bhakta Vrinda Ki. So this is the, oh my gosh, okay, Mahaprasadam Ki Jai. I am authorized. What does it do? It has magical powers? I can. Yeah, I can say something intelligent. Yeah. Wow. No, this is, wow, I'm still arriving. No, we were in Tennessee. We have our non-profit corporation in Tennessee, Murfreesboro, in the United States. And I was there with Nitai Gaurasundar, our president. And then I was up in the temple room. It's above his garage, nice temple room. And the earth started shaking like that. It's like a train was going by outside. Then the wind started blowing like anything. It was a tornado. And the Wizard of Oz was flying in the sky, and Dorothy, and everybody was like, you know, houses. And just five houses away from where, we were missing that. Three houses away there was damage, and five houses away there was no house. It just took off the roof, all the siding. You know, inside is there. It was just like incredible. You know? And we traveled from there to here, and so I'm still arriving like that. Like that. Figure out where I am. Wow. But it says here, Prabhupada says, Krishna says, the devotee is not attached to any fixed residence. Yeah? So he's fixed in his knowledge, he's fixed in his determination. So the more we're like that, we can tolerate being in tornadoes one day, airplanes the next day, you know, VIP rooms the next day, like that, changing. You know? But I was thinking of this because today is, I guess, disappearance of Abhiram Thakur. You talked about him this morning? No, wow. He's an associate of Lord Chaitanya. Do you know who he is in Krishna Lila? In Krishna's pastimes, do you know who he is? No? He's Shridam. Radharani's older brother, like that. So when, you know, Balaram comes, he comes, he's one of the principal cowherd boys. So this is 500 years ago in Bengal. And, these are the beginning qualifications. These are like qualifications for Madhyamadhikari, qualifications for like a Madhyamadhikari. The higher devotee, Baba. Yeah. Okay, another one. Okay. All right. This one has a longer, thank you. There you go. Okay. Now we're connected. This has a bell to it like that. Yeah. Another one there. So after we acquire these qualifications in morality, ethics, you know, transcendental knowledge, then the spiritual sentiments start to come. Bhava, different feelings, humor, ghastliness, you know, love, parental affection, you know, friendship, these start to come, bhava, after this. But this is the basis. Without this, you can't acquire that. You have to be fixed in the mode of pure goodness, eating frugally, you know, not being pushed around by heat and cold, these kind of things, you know, be fixed. So this is the beginning. And then we start to see bhava, these sentiments. And so Abhiram Thakur, he had no material body. It was just like you put a diamond in water. You know, it's not the same. It's very different, you know. The stream can move, but the diamond doesn't move at all. So you're looking at devotees like this, like Abhiram Thakur, you realize he's not a part of the material world. You know, he's generating the energy. And he was always absorbed in the mood of a cowherd boy, you know, always absorbed in the mood, service of Lord Nityananda. And he had a flute with seven knots he would play. And he also had a whip called Jayamangala, his whip. And whoever he hit with his whip would immediately manifest symptoms of love of God, trembling, crying, everything else like that, you know. So people were, please beat me. Beat me. So when he met Narottam, he was still, you know, a little boy, but he was so pleased with his character and everything else, he hit him like that, you know. And then Narottam was just crying and tears coming from his eyes and saying, Krishna, Krishna, you know. So he was so pleased, hit him again like that, you know. He was even more intense, you know. And they were both in ecstasy. He was going to hit him a third time. And Abhiram Thakur's wife stopped him. She said, he's just a little boy, you'll kill him. Third time like that, you know, so stop. You know. There's so many pastimes like that. I think it said it, if any stone he'd look at, that if it wasn't the Shalagrama Shila, it would break just like that. If there's some stone on the altar, and it wasn't Shalagrama Shila, it would just crack like that. He's looking at it. You know. So many associates like that. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing these, you know, passing down like that, so we can see, ooh, these things would happen. And then even you see Prabhupada, the same thing. All these qualifications are there. Prabhupada was being served. Other times people were insulting him. You know, you're causing all these problems by starting this religious movement. Go home. You know. Hansa Dutta said he invited Prabhupada to come to Germany. You know, like that. You know this history? He had him come to Germany and he made a poster of Prabhupada like this, you know. Yeah. Founder of Acharya, very aquiline, you know, picture like that. And it said, Der Führer hat kommt. So he spent this all over Germany, you know. And the government's wondering what is this Hare Krishna movement? Is he saying? No, exactly. It was just like, that was Hansa Dutta's style. It was like, you know, attract attention, you know. Prabhupada said one time, you're like an elephant. You do big, big work, but you also pass big, big stool. So try and minimize this stool passing business because I have to clean it up afterwards, you know. But don't stop working because... So, you know, all this interest is there and Prabhupada came, you know, and people are coming to the lectures like that. He traveled in Germany. Then he went to Hansa Dutta and invited him a second time. He told us this. And Prabhupada said, I cannot go there again. There are people there who would kill me. Like that. So they're intelligent enough to figure out this guy's dangerous. You know, Prabhupada was actually dangerous. You know. So some people in society want to kill you. Some people want to make you God. Some people, you know, it's just, it happens that way. I mean, you know, everybody here experiences this probably, no? These people just criticizing you unfairly. You know, why do I don't deserve this? The next time they're giving you honor and respect, and you say, well, I don't deserve this. You know. But it'll happen. You know. So Prabhupada was steady, and, you know, all these things like that. Sometimes staying in the most simple situations, sometimes staying again in big palatial buildings in India, you know, people would honor him. You know. But then, nishta, Yeah, then you begin to get some sentiment, some feeling like that. You know, so I was thinking that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, Abhinav Thakur's disappearance festival. So any comments, commentaries, questions? No, it's okay. Complaints? Yeah. Donations? I was playing. The wind is blowing there. And the wind is nice. It's nice. It's nice. Yeah. One, another one. That's for him. Make him up here. Hari Bol. Ma Prasadam Ki Jai. Jai. Julius Caesar. Caesar Augustus. You look like Caesar now. Yes. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, there was mentioned that devotees are not attached to that some place or something.
Yeah.
But on our platform we need some kind of comfort or at least some necessary things. So it's better to tolerate it and like to know that it's now necessary and hope that it will go out, or try to reduce it by force.
This is a recorder. No, example, the main thing is reducing sleeping and eating. That's a big thing. We eat too much and we sleep too much. So it's kind of the central focus, but also unnecessary residence, minimizing your residence. When I was in Naimisharanya, the Bhagavatam has spoken there. It goes back to the Vedic age. Still so many saintly people there with big beards, walking around, many ashrams. If you're a sannyasi, you can live there for free. They have sannyasi area in the ashram, and it's like a something, but a little wider than this. With like the bricks are stacked up so there's holes in the wall. Then it has a grass roof. Okay, for free, you can stay there. You know? Oh my God, another. They keep coming. Die. So Prabhupada ki. Wow, that was nice. Okay, right. Wow. And then the ashram. This is Naradananda ashram. And then they have a sannyas kitchen. Sannyasis can come and eat for free. You can have, chapatis with no salt or butter, like that. And sabji is basically boiled potatoes with a little bit of green chilies and a little bit of tomato. So you can have all you want, every day. But then they go into the forest and they just pick different kinds of leaves, and different roots. So many nice roots and leaves there. And then for residents, I saw one person, it was like the side of a hill. He just carved it out, so it was just enough space to crawl in and lie down. He'd taken some dry grass from the field, put in there for a mattress. Some wider grass, he just made it into a mat to put on top of that. Another mat, so when he crawled in his side, he put that mat in front of the door. His body keeps it warm enough, like that. So there's your economic development. Yeah. Yeah. But one devotee, Lena, very nice devotee, she was hearing about these things. She said, wow, if I had to live that way, I would go mad. But it's a fact. Lady's body is different. Mentality is different. Child's body is different. So different people, we have different karma. So the thing is to find a situation where we can make progress. Yeah? Everybody's different. Ultimately, we have to renounce breathing. Right? Is anybody ready for that? Stop breathing? Yeah, everybody. Yeah, it's like you just try it for 3 minutes. Just speak. If you want to go back to God, if you want to go to Krishna, just you stop eating for three weeks, you'll leave your body. Stop drinking water for 3 days, you'll leave your body. Stop breathing for 3 minutes, you can be with Krishna. Like that. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we have to find our particular position in terms of our karma and everything else. Then what Krishna's recommending to Arjuna is, and use that for me. Rather than using your particular situation, your potencies, and you know, what do you call it? Well, boy, bienes, your things for your own benefit. Use them for me. You know, in the beginning, Arjuna wants to fight to regain Draupadi's honor because she's his wife, right? But after hearing Bhagavad Gita, he wants to fight to regain Draupadi's honor because she's Krishna's devotee. You know, like that. Yeah, but he never recommends not fighting. You know, Arjuna wants to do that. He says, no, actually, you're attached to this position, to being a Kshatriya, to protecting the women, to, you know, this kind of thing. Yeah. So you do that, you know. So yeah, we have to understand what is our karma. Yeah. But if we're attached to a certain kind of comfort, that means we're also attached to a certain kind of distress. You know, we begin to figure this out. Oh, Krishna gave me this nice prasadam to satisfy my lust. But yeah, there's some reaction for engaging in that intense sense gratification. Yeah? But now it's educational, right? Before we surrender to Krishna, all the cords of our karma, like puppets, you know, they're being controlled by Durga. And she just gives you your reaction, whatever it is, she applies the law. You know? But after we surrender, then they go to Radharani. Now you have your same karma, but some of it may go away, some may increase, but whatever is happening now is for your, you know, for your purification. So yeah, I can eat nice prasad. Oh, how nice. But then after they feel, oh, like that. So, but that's also transcendental, but that's, okay, I won't do that again, you know. Yeah, there's a, oh. There's no karma. You get a reaction for your offenses. You know, you can be offensive to Krishna, you can be offensive to the holy names, you can be offensive to Krishna's paraphernalia. So if you take prasadam as something to gratify your guts, you know, eating like that to stimulate your body, you know, then it's offensive. You know, it's like taking a good friend or something and using them for some, you know, abominable task. So there's no sin, but there's offense. Yeah. Huh? It's personal. You know, the king is going by and he sees that, you know, in his automobile, modern king, right? And he sees the police have stopped some boys like that, the lights are going, and he says, what's happening here? So all these boys were driving, we found a little alcohol in the car, so they're going to go off and they'll probably be in jail there for 30 days like that. And the king says, I'll take care of this. He's my son. Like that. So the police say, oh, yes, sir, you know. So now, the king's son, would he rather be under the control of the police or his father? At this point, you might think, boy, better the police took me away. But now now the reaction is, it's a personal thing. So the king can do whatever he wants to do. Talk to him a little bit and just, you know, punch him in the nose one time lightly and say, you know, hey, don't do that. You're my son. Yeah, yes, sir. Or else you can, you know, like Sita. You know, Sita, right? She was the queen, the princess. People were bringing her perfumed dresses and heating her bath water. And, you know, how nice to be the princess. But when there was some criticism of her character, that she had been in another man's house for 1 year, even though she proved herself by fire that she maintained her chastity, even still, because she was the princess, there cannot be the slightest doubt about her character, because everybody else has to follow that. So Ram then just left her in the forest, like that, in Valmiki's ashram, like that. No? Yeah. So it's very, now we are dealing with Krishna. So it's more dangerous. Yeah. There ought to be a karmi. Yeah. Yeah.
We have discussed next week the other day. If you make offenses to devotees, or you make offenses to the holy name, does this affect the guru?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's like somebody, you know, if somebody gives his son, I don't know, 20 euros, keys to the car, he's in his secondary school, he says, okay, it's Friday night, go watch the basketball game or whatever it is, sports, football game with your friends, come back by this time, you know. So he doesn't come back, and sometime he gets a phone call, and the same thing, the police, they caught them drinking, driving. What should we do with them? You know, yeah, okay, you know. Yeah, who's responsible? Well, the father is the what's it called? The ultimate cause. He's the ultimate cause. You know, the efficient cause is the boys, and the material cause is alcohol. or the automobile. You know, these are Aristotle's categories, and Prabhupada's using them again and again. And finally, after so many years, like 32 years, I finally realized where they're coming from, what it is. You know, there's the potter's wheel, like that. He's making cups. He spins it like that, and he keeps like that. Okay. So, what is the cause of the cup? Okay, the material cause is clay. Okay, the efficient cause is the wheel, and the ultimate cause is the potter. You know? So Krishna is the ultimate cause of everything, but he gives us free will. Okay, so we're the efficient cause of our destiny, like that. And the ultimate cause is karma, matter. So ultimately, Krishna is responsible for everything like that. You know, he is, but he's not the So the same way is that you do something, and your guru told you not to do this, right? And you do it, okay? Then he doesn't have to take much responsibility for it. In fact, he doesn't have to take any at all. He can just renounce you at that point. Take no connection with that. But if you're following his instructions and you're doing these offenses and stuff like that, then he takes responsibility like that to adjust them, to make like that. So we should try to minimize those, because then our authorities have to, to compensate for that. Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's karma. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Abhiram Thakur ki. Prabhupada ki, die. One time we were on the altar in San Francisco temple. It's like, three altars like here, but bigger like that. So it takes three pujaris at night to change the dress like that, So we were on the altar there, and there's no one to give class, and you heard the microphone moving, and then this one devotee, Bhakta Daniel, he started giving class. Bhagavad Gita. And he kind of, the whole verse, exactly, kind of imitating the thing, Then he started talking about, this is called mridanga, and it's a kind of drum in India they play. It's different than a drum here, like that. And devotees, they get their clothes from India, like that, too, so they can dress like Vaishnavas, And, there's all kinds of devotees in this movement. Some are younger and some are older, like that, Some are intelligent, like that. And devotees, we don't drink any beer or wine, we drink alcohol. He was going from one topic to another. It was just like just jumping like that. It was just like, he's neurotic, little neurotic, So I was listening to this, but it was all Krishna conscious, So I kind of looked at the other pujari and looks at me and he goes like, it's Krishna conscious, okay. So went on. Then I came out and he was sitting on the asasan like this. Himself, and there was two boys and one girl from Berkeley, from Telegraph Avenue, who I kind of knew them. They were all crazy. All four of them were crazy, like that. And so there's one madman giving a class to three other madmen, like that, And their attention span was about like 10 seconds or 15 seconds. So he was seeing them like, they were kind of looking at the drum, so he'd say something about the drum. They were kind of looking at this person here, so he'd say something about that. And it was just like, and they were all like, absorbed like that. So you can see like, different people give classes to different kinds of people like that. Okay? Madmen giving classes to other madmen. It was incredible, like that. Yeah. So I was kind of just visiting here. Abhiram Thakur ki. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Prabhupada says usually, depends on his position, kind of complicated question. Because Majjhima Adhikari can also accept, Kanista Adhikari and Majjhima Adhikari can also accept disciples. But because of their insufficient guidance, their disciples will stay on the same platform as they are. Therefore, the disciples should be careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as a guru. This is exact. Very careful. Every article. And Uttama Adhikari as a guru. So that's what happened when Prabhupada was here. Things haven't changed. When Prabhupada left, he was giving these instructions about initiations, and he said everything should go on the same way it is now. Nothing should change. So that's exactly the way it was when Prabhupada was here. There was like, you know, Bhagavan, Hansa Duda, you know, Jayatirtha. Many people, like, they were like leaders, and people had so much affection for them. They made them devotees. They trained them up. You know, they were their gurus, you know, and people that was reciprocal. And Prabhupada encouraged that. But they weren't the Samstapaka Acharya. You know, from the very beginning, that's the very beginning, before you open any of Prabhupada's books, he's already said who he is before he even opened the book. It says founder Acharya, like that, Samstapaka Acharya. You know? So, you know, different levels of people, you know, on different levels of consciousness like that. You know? What was your question again?
If you were just
yeah. Oh, can he fall down? Can he fall down?
Yeah.
So if he's Prabhupada says, therefore, one should be careful not to accept too many disciples, because then he can fall down like that. You know, even Upadeshamrita explains that even Uttamadhikari, you know, pretty much as I'm reading this again and again, it's almost like Prabhupada saying, at first initiation, you're Kanishadhikari, second initiation, you're Madhyamadhikari, and Goswami, third initiation, you're Uttamadhikari. it's like almost that simple, you know. But he can fall down if he becomes envious or becomes proud, like that, you know, so on. So every step we have to be, it's free will. You're never forced to serve Krishna by pleasure or anything else. It's always because you want to do it, yeah? And you know that Krishna is only doing this because he wants to do it. Well, Krishna is forced to do this because I follow the rules. No, he's not. So he's doing because he wants to do it. So there's this like personal relationship. You know? So yeah, even Uttamadhikari can fall down. Jadbharat, he took only one disciple, but it was too much. Maharaj Bharata, right? A deer, right? He took him as his disciple. I will take you, raise you up. But that was too much because he did it for the wrong reason, like that. So if we're doing it for the right reason, then there's no problem, and Krishna will tell us like how to adjust things, you know, like that. Hansa Duda told us, that Prabhupada told him, that every big man has three secretaries. With the first one, he discusses something. This is happening in Croatia or someplace like that. And got this letter and this and that. So they talk about it. You know, what does he say then? You know. So Prabhupada was taking his massage, and devotees were reading letters to him, and he was talking, okay, you tell Brahmananda that he should stay two more months there. I know it's difficult. And I'll send Jayatirtha to take his place, and he can go to Nairobi from there. Okay, you know, and encourage him. Okay, so then the first secretary goes, and he then dictates the letter to the second secretary. He just writes down like almost exactly. The third secretary then types it, puts in the grammar correctly like that. Then it goes back. The second secretary reads it, signs it. The first secretary reads it. Then Prabhupada said that if the first secretary signed it, the big man just kind of glances at it and signs it, not even reading it. So that's why it's a little tricky quoting Prabhupada's letters, you know, because some of the letters Prabhupada just very, very minimal, you know, context. Others, you know, certain details and format and stuff. You know, there's letters like that from secretaries. You know. So, you know, then Prabhupada's taking so many disciples, right? But Krishna tells him, okay, you should have some principal people like this and that, and if any individual disciple needs to talk to you personally, then the super soul says, I'll arrange that. You know, so there's also connection through the super soul, but there's connection through, you know, senior devotees. I never talked to Prabhupada individually. I think Prabhupada already had over 1,000 disciples or something by the time I was initiated, you know, like that. So my real, you know, Shiksha gurus were Jayananda, Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj and Hansa Duda. And from them, I was just, you know, they did things the way Prabhupada did. They, you know, so, but that was my connection. You know? And then one time I was in the kitchen, Prabhupada came to San Francisco, I was giving class, and after the class there was aarti, you know, and there were cookies for Prabhupada to pass out like that, you know. And so they were sitting in the kitchen, I was cooking the morning offering, and nobody was coming, and, you know, so finally I had my apron on, like that. So I went out with the cookies, going to give them to somebody, and everybody was chanting, you know, Prabhupada, you know, it was like that. So I kept getting closer. And finally, Tamal Krishna Maharaj pushed me to Prabhupada, you know. And I was sitting in front of Prabhupada holding his cookies up and afraid he was going to burn me to ashes or something like that, you know. Like that. Yeah. In my apron, you know, he's kind of looking at me like, who is this, you know. So he took the cookies and, you know, that's the only personal service I did to Prabhupada. But why did I do it? How did I do it? Because senior devotee pushed me to Prabhupada. Yeah? So the ultimate principle is Trinada Pisanichena Dorori Vasa Hishnuna. We're not trying to get closer, we're trying to get farther away. Yeah? And become servant of the servant of the servant. Then it's better and better. We can serve better and better like that. You know? Even Radharani is trying to do that. Yeah? Become the servant of the servant. She's trying to arrange for the gopis, you know, to get a chance to. Yeah, they're all little girls. They all want to see Krishna. He says, "Well, you take this into him like that, you know, bring it like that, you know." Did he wink at you? Yeah, yeah. you know. So they're all trying to become servants of the servants. You know? Go on. So then, if you're doing it for the right purpose, then Krishna gives you intelligence, how to organize, you know, many disciples like that. You know, and then you won't fall down. You know, but Prabhupada says, yes, if you're not properly situated, then yeah, you can fall down. Like that, you know. Other than that, again, depends how strong the guru is. You know, an acharya like Prabhupada can hold on to people even though they have so many material attachments. You know, they're acquiring material attachments. But at a certain point, even he has to say, I understand Prabhupada said he would try to help his disciples if they're following, you know, the four principles. If they start breaking them, okay, still try to help them. But they start eating meat, that was too much, you know. Then he has to just let go. You're no longer my disciple. Yeah. It doesn't mean I'm not trying to help you. Vartmana Pradarshika Guru, Pradarshika Guru. I'll try to get you back on the path. But right now, you're not on the path. You haven't got a guru, you know, like that, other than the super soul. You know? Yeah. So he knows. Other than that, if he becomes proud, you know, I'm everybody's dearmost friend. Bhaktaram Yagata Pasyam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvadehinam. I'm everybody's best friend. You know? No, you're trying to take Krishna's position. And then you can fall down because of that. You know, trying to be the best friend of the deer, fall down. Yeah. So, yeah. So, and usually the guru suffers like headaches or diseases or bad dreams, you know, from the disciples' activities, you know, like that. But you usually know. I mean, Krishna arranges it so he doesn't have. It's like a doctor; he doesn't get any more contamination and stuff, and he can handle, and so it's okay like that. You know, yeah. So he won't take. Probably stopped taking disciples at a certain point like that. He didn't take any more disciples and said, "We have to condense the milk. The people we have to be trained properly, or else eliminated." You know, so he can go on. In terms of our guru? Yeah. No, if you know, I mean, so many times people tell you, you know, your subordinate is doing this and this and this. You should talk to them. You should do this and that. You know, yeah, because, you know, you get a reaction like that. Yes, it's very natural. We in the mode of goodness, the material world is an accurate reflection of the spiritual world, in the mode of goodness. So in the mode of goodness, you see how everything is related, people relate, who's authorities. It's very easy to understand who's Krishna, who am I, what is Guru, who's Balaram, what is Radharani, like that. You know? So yeah, if you're, you know, everybody has pretty much, you know, subordinates. You know, and so you get reactions for what they do and stuff like that, because you're supposed to be responsible to some degree like that. Yeah. Guru Tattva. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada keep back home, back to Godhead. Abhiram Thakur ki. Jai Mangala ki.